Today's Daf HaShavua Shir in Yerushalmi Brachas is dedicated to the memory of Dora Bas Yisrael Silver Olea Shalom and begins approximately in the middle of the Amud on Daf Mem Amud Beis in the Oz V'Hodor edition, 18 lines from the bottom of the Amud, with the words Rav Shimon ben Gamliel Omer. In the Vilna edition, it is on Daf Chav Zayin Amud Beis. Begins the Gemara, Rav Shimon Gamliel Omer. Rav Shimon Gamliel says, Shalach Rahamito, as the Pnei Moshe explains, that behind the bed there is a Graf Shel Rei. What is a Graf Shel Rei? We find in the Charedim, approximately in the middle of the Amud, on the left side, where the Charedim says, Graf HaMeyuchad Lekach. This is a keli that is designated for a person's bodily needs. Da Afilu Hu Reikon, even if the keli is empty, Kebesa Kisei Hashivi. That keli has a halacha of a bathroom, of a Beis HaKisei. The Meiri in Brachas on Dav Chof Hei Amid Beis says that Rav Shimon ben Gamliel is speaking concerning a regular keli, which has in it urine. It's not miyuchad for the person's bodily needs, but there was some meiraglim in this keli. In either case, Rav Shimon Gamliel is saying that if there is a bed that is separating between the person who wants to say Kriya Shema and the Graf Shel Rei, or the keli that happens to have in it urine, the halacha is yikra. He's allowed to say Kriya Shema because he has this bed separating. However, shelefnei amita, but if the Graf Shel Rei or the keli with the urine in it is in front of the bed, there is no separation of the bed between the person and the Graf Shel Rei, then the halach is la yikra. Then he is not allowed to read Kriya Shema. Until, says the Pnei Moshe, Divrei Maschil la yikra, ad sheyarchik dalet amis, until he removes himself dalet amis, and then it's considered that the keli and the person are not in the same place, and then his machane is kadosh. This is all based on a pasuk, v'hoyah machanecha kadosh. Your camp should be holy. It shouldn't contain in it any tamei items. And therefore, if he removes himself dalet amos away, it is considered that he's in a different machane and he is permitted to recite Kriya Shema. Continues the Gemara, Rav Shimon ben Elazar, Rav Shimon ben Elazar says, afilu triklet. Even a pavilion, which is Eser al Eser, 10 Amos by 10 Amos, lo yikra, he should not read Kriyishma achi chasenu, until he covers the Graf Shel Rei, oy achi anichena tachas hamita, or he puts it under the bed. In other words, Rav Shimon ben Elazar is being mechulik with Rav Shimon Gamliel, whereas Rav Shimon Gamliel said that if it is behind the bed, or if he is dalet amos away, he's considered in a different machane, and he's allowed to recite Kriya Shema, according to Rav Shimon ben Elazar, even if the Meiraglayim, or the Graf Shel Rei, is far away from him, 10 amos, he's not allowed to read Kriya Shema until he covers up the Graf Shel Rei, or he puts it under the bed, then it's considered enveloped by the bed, and then it's a different rishus, and he's allowed to say Kriya Shema. The lashon of the Bavli in Brachas Daf Chof Hei Amud Beis in the Shita of Rav Shimon ben Elazar is afilu bayis mea ama. Even if the house is 100 amas long, and the Graf Shel Rei, or the keli that has in it the Meiraglim, is on one side of the house, and he's 100 amas away on the other side of the house, according to Rav Shimon ben Elazar, he's not allowed to recite Kriya Shema because it's considered as if the entire 100 amas are one dalet amas, and he's in the same machane, and therefore he's not allowed to recite Kriya Shema unless it's covered up or under the bed. Now, in this halach, it comes out that the shita of Rav Shimon ben Elazar is a chumrah, that dalet amas away is not enough. Even a 100 amas away is not enough. It has to be covered. However, in the Hilchus of Netilas Yadayim we find in the Mishnah Berura, in Simon Aleph, in the Bir Halacha, Sif Cotton Beis, he brings down from the Shalos and Shuvas, Shvus Yaakov Chelek Gimel Simon Aleph, that the Shvus Yaakov wants to be Melamed Tzchus on those people who don't have Negelvas right next to their beds. And he writes that the Olam is not Nizer to walk Dalet Amos without Netilas Yadayim. Says the Shvus Yaakov, Vizel Ashainai, Visamchu es Atzman, Alma da Harajba Sphere Labor Brachas, the Kula Besa Kedalet Amistamia. That the Olam was Saimach on the Rajba, who says in Brachas, Mesach the Brachas, that the whole house, as we saw, the Lashon, even if it's 100 Amos long, that's all considered as if it is Dalet Amos. And therefore, the person who's in the same house, even if it takes him more than Dalet Amos to get to where the water is, it's considered as if he's within Dalet Amos of the water. The Mishnah Berura says that one should only be Soimech on this B'Shas Hadchak. But we find in the Mishnah Berura with Hagoyis V'Tikunim that we should write in the Bir Halacha, not Harajba, because that seems to be, he's speaking about the Rajba who was a Rishon, but rather the Lashon that should be in the Bir Halacha is that the Samchu es Atzman Alma de Rab Shimon ben Elazar, the Gemara Brachas Chaf Hei Amid Beis, that he says the whole house is like one Dalet Amos. In other words, the first letters of the name Rab Shimon ben Elazar is Reish Shin Beis Aleph, and that's what the Shvus Yaakov says that the Olam is Soimach. Here, it'll be a Kula, Negeya saying Krishma in front of a Graf Shal Rei. There, Rav Shimon ben Elazar is a chumra, that even 100 Amos away, it's as if you're within the same Dalet Amos. And therefore, it's Asr unless you cover it. Legabi, the halach of Netilas Yadayim, not walking Dalet Amos without Netilas Yadayim, it's considered all within the Dalet Amos, and you're not walking more than Dalet Amos without Netilas Yadayim. So it's not the Rajba that the Shvus Yaakov is quoting, but rather it is Rab Shimon ben Elazar. Here in the Yerushalmi, he only says a filatriklin Eser al Eser, 10 Amos by 10 Amos. But in the Bavli, he says even 100 Amos, because that's all considered Dalet Amos, and that's a tzad to be makel for not having one's Negelvasser right next to his bed. Although, as we pointed out, that's only B'Shas Hadchak. What is the halacha like? Says Rabbi Yaakov bar Acha b'shem Rabbi Chiya bar Vo, Hoyre Rabbi Chanina Tartoya, Rabbi Chanina of Tarta, he paskined. That's what Rabbi Yaakov bar Acha in the name Rabbi Chiya bar Vo said, that he paskined kahadod Rabbi Shimon ben Elazar. He paskined like Rabbi Shimon ben Elazar, that even if it's 10 Amos by 10 Amos, or as we have in the Bavli, it's 100 Amos long. The halacha is that one is not allowed to say Krishma keneged a graf shel rei or a keli that has in it meraglayim. However, in the Bavli, brachas of chaf hei amid beis, we find a machlokes amaroyim whether the halacha is like Rav Shimon ben Elazar or not. And halacha lemaisa, the Tur and the Shulchan Aruch in Aruch Chaim, Siman Pei Zayin, Sif Gimel, they paskin the loy k'Rav Rav Shimon ben Elazar, that if in fact the graf shel rei or the Meir Raglaim is more than Dalet Amos away from the person who wants to recite Kriyishma, he is allowed to recite Kriyishma. Continues the Gemara, Rabbi Yamin bar Yefes b'shem Rabbi Yochanan, Rabbi Yamin bar Yefes said in the name of Rabbi Yochanan, Tzoya kol shehu, the excrement, which is only a small amount. And the halachan is that normally even the tiniest amount of tzoya prohibits a person to say Dvorim shel Kedusha in front of that tzoya. But Rabbi Yom Bar Yefes gave an eitz, mevatla baroik. He's able to be mevatl the tzoya by spitting on it. The Ritva in Bavli Brachas Dav Chafei Amid Beis explains that this would only be a thick phlegm, which is not transparent, and it doesn't have a din of a liquid. However, regular saliva would not be effective in neutralizing the tzoya because it is transparent and it is also liquidy, and therefore it would not serve to neutralize the tzoya. Rabbi Yaakov Rezavdi, they were Havayas, and they were sitting, and they were saying Dvorim Shel Kedusha Chamin. They saw Tzeyasa. They saw some excrement. Come, Rabbi Yaakov Rezavdi, Rakakala. So Rabbi Yaakov Rezavdi got up and spit on it. Apparently, he spit phlegm, and that would neutralize the tzoya. Then they could continue to say Dvorim Shel Kedusha. Amar le Rav Zeira, so Rav Zeira said, Min yama l'tigna, don't think that you're able to say Dvorim Shel Kedusha for a long time. You're only allowed to say it immediately. Let's say you want to say Kriya Shema, so right after you spit and neutralize the tzoya, you would be allowed to say Kriya Shema right away. The same amount of time as from the sea to Tigna. So there's two pshatim in the Meforshim what Tigna means. Either Tigna is a place that was right near the sea. So from the time that it takes you to go from the sea to the place Tigna, that's the same amount of time where you would be allowed to say, for example, Kriya Shema. Or Tigna is a frying pan, and it means from the time that you would catch a fish in the sea and bring him into a frying pan that you had right there next to the sea, that's the amount of time that you could say Kriya Shema. In other words, you have to do it immediately, because if the saliva, even the phlegm, remains there for a longer period of time, it will be absorbed within the tzoya, and then it will be usher once again to say Dvorim Shel Kedusha in front of that tzoya. The Gemara now will discuss where the proper place is to store svarim. And we should point out that the Meiri in Brachas Daf Chav Vav Amud Aleph tells us that this sugya is not speaking about a Sefer Torah, because a Sefer Torah is more chomer than regular svarim. Regular svarim refer to either Nevi'im or Ksuvim or one of the Chamisha Chumshei Torah that are called Chumashim. And we're going to see in the Gemara that you're allowed to store them under the head of where a person sleeps on a bed. This would be usur for a Sefer Torah. A Sefer Torah cannot be put under a bed whatsoever. But our Gemara here is discussing regular Sforim, not a Sefer Torah. Says the Gemara, Teva, a box, Shehi Malei Sforim, that's full of these Sforim, as we said, in the Vim or Ksuvim or Chumashim, Naisna Mirishose Hamita, he puts it under his bed, which the Pnei Moshe says, Shehu Yoshnola, the bed that is not a piece of furniture for decoration purposes, but rather it's the bed that he sleeps on. So he's allowed to put the box full of Sforim underneath the head of the bed, but ve'enoi noisna meri ragloi samita. He is not allowed to put even regular svarim, not a sefer Torah, he's not allowed to put it at the foot of the bed, because then, as the Rosh Cirillo points out here at the bottom in the left-hand column, divrei amasal ve'enoi margolos samita, shenoyig ben bezoyan. That's a bezoyan. It's as if his feet is on top of the Sforim, and that is prohibited. Continues the Gemara, Rav Avin B'Shem, Rav Chuna, he gives one additional provision, V'hu shetehei hamita gvoya asar tvachim. Even if we're matur Sforim, to be put under the head of the bed, that's only if the bed is 10 tvachim high from this box of Sforim. Because if it is less than 10 tvachim, then it's considered to be together with the sforim, and that would be a bezoyan to the sforim again, even if it's on the head of the bed. So as the Pnei Moshe says, if it's 10 tefachim high, then the oz havi rishus la'atzma. Then the bed is considered in its own rishus, then there's no bezoyin to the swarm, and then it is permitted at the head of the bed. And there's another condition, ubavad shelo yehu chavle hamita noigim b'teva. Another condition is that the ropes of the bed should not touch the box. In other words, in the time of Chazal, they didn't have springs as we have on which the mattress rests, but rather they had interlacing ropes. And even if the mita is higher than 10 tefachim away from the box, and it's in its own rishus, but if the ropes on which the bed rests, if those ropes are descending down and they touch the box of Swarm, even though the bed itself is above 10 tefachim, then, as Reb Chaim Kanievsky explains, it looks like he is lying down on the box of Swarm, and that's not covered to the Swarm. So then that would also be prohibited. What's the halacha l'maisa? Hore Rabbi Yassa. B'mekome de Reb Shmuel bar Rav Yitzchak. Rav Yassa paskind in the place of Reb Shmuel bar Rav Yitzchak, kehadot de Rav Chuna, like this halacha of Rav Chuna, that swarm are permitted with a number of conditions. It has to be at the head of the bed, it has to be above 10 tefachim, and the ropes are not touching the box. If all these conditions are met, then it is permitted to store the box of swarm under the bed. A Sefer Torah is completely usher. The top of the bed, the end of the bed makes no difference. That's a bezoyin for a Sefer Torah. Continues the Gemara, lo yishamish adam itasev a Sefer Torah imay babayis. A person should not have marital relations with his wife, and a Sefer Torah is with him in the house, which means it's with him in the same room. It's only permitted if the Sefer Torah is in another room. Rabbi Yirmiyah b'shem Rabbi Avua, Rabbi Yirmiyah said in the name of Rabbi Avua, im hoya korach b'mapa, if the Sefer Torah was wrapped around with a cloth, oy shehoya nasan b'chaloin, or it was put on the ledge of a window, shehu gavoya asar tefachim, that is in a different rishus because of the fact that it is high from the place where the tashmish is taking place. 10 tefachim, then it is mutter. Now let us see each of these dinim. The first din was that if it's wrapped in a cloth, it is mutter to have tashmish, even though the Sefer Torah is there. From the pashtus of the Yerushalmi, it's mashma, that even if it's wrapped in one cloth, it would be permitted. However, in the Bavli, Brachos Daf Chaf Hei Amud Beis, it's mashma that you need two mapos for covering tefillin or a Sefer Torah. And as we'll soon see further in the Gemara here, that there's a machlokes rishonim. According to the Rambam, Beis Mapos helps not only for tefillin, it also helps for a Sefer Torah. However, according to the Rashba and other rishonim, the covering of two Mapos only helps for tefillin. It does not help for a Sefer Torah. So it comes out that in the inyan of a Sefer Torah being covered, from the pashtus of our Yerushalmi, it's mashma that one is enough, one covering. From the Bavli, it seems that you need two coverings, but two coverings help not only for tefillin, but even for Sefer Torah, as is the sheet of the Rambam. However, the Rashba holds that two coverings only help for tefillin and do not help for a Sefer Torah. The second halacha that Rabbi Yirmiyah said in the name of Rabbi Avua was that if it's put in a different shus, namely on a ledge higher than 10 tefachim, it's mutter. Because as Reb Chaim Kanievsky explains in his Biur, that's considered a separate shus if it's 10 tefachim high. However, in the Shals and Shuvas Chavis Yor, in Simen Kuf Pei Dalet, he paskins that although other mundane activities are in fact permitted where a Sefer Torah is placed on a ledge higher than 10 tefachim, however, Tashmish Hamita, that activity is not permitted if the Sefer Torah is on a ledge higher than 10 tefachim. And now we come to the Shita of Rabbi Shua ben Levi. Rabbi Shua ben Levi Oimer, Oysa Lekilon, that you have to make in this situation with a Sefer Torah to do Tashrei Shemitah, you have to make a curtain. The curtain has to be in height 10 tefachim, and the minimum width would have to be 4 tefachim. If the person is doing tashmish on one side of such a curtain, which is 10 by 4 tefachim, and on the other side is the Sefer Torah, it's considered as if the Sefer Torah is in a different rishus. However, the Gemara in the Bavli Daf Chavav in Masechta Brachos tells us that this kilon, this curtain, is only to be used when there is no other regular room to place the Sefer Torah in. If there is another room, then one should not rely on a curtain. One should place the Sefer Torah in the other room and do Tashmish Amita in the bedroom, and the Sefer Torah should be in a different room. Now, here's where we have a Machlokes Rishonim between the Rajba, the Ritva, and the Rosh on one hand, and the Rambam on the other hand. Because the question is, how do we understand the Sheet of Rabbi Shub and Levi? The Rajba, the Ritva, and the Rosh hold that Rabbi Shub and Levi was arguing, and he holds that Beis Mapois do not help for a Sefer Torah. It only helps for Tefillin. And therefore, the only Eitzah for a Sefer Torah is to have, if there is no other room, is to have a curtain separating the Tashmish from the Sefer Torah. However, the Rambam says that Rabbi Shub and Levi agrees that two mappos help not only for tefillin, it helps for Sefer Torah as well. The case of Rabbi Shimon Levi is where there was no mappos available. The only thing that was available was a curtain to be used for a mechitza. And in that situation, a curtain should be used. But Ein Echanami, if there were mappos, two mappos would help, even according to Rabbi Yeshua ben Levi. We now go to the top of Daf Mem Aleph Amid Aleph. Lo yeshev odom al gabi safsol shel sefer Torah nasan olav. A person should not sit on a bench that a sefer Torah is placed on the same bench. Ma'aseh b'Rabbi Eliezer. There's a story concerning Rabbi Eliezer. Shehaya yoyshev al gabi safsol shel sefer Torah nasan olav, that he was sitting on a bench on which a Sefer Torah had been placed. He was not aware of this. When he discovered that he was sitting on the same bench as a Sefer Torah, v'hirsiyah milfonav, he recoiled in front of the Sefer Torah, k'marsiyah milfnei hanokish, like one recoils from in front of a snake. There are two pshatim in the Meforshim here. One pshat is that just as a person regularly has pachad, fear, from the bite of a snake. When he sees a snake, he jumps back out of fear from the snake biting him, a poisonous snake. So too, Rabbi Eliezer had the same fear because of his Yiras Hashem and his pachad from doing an Avera and his fear for causing Bezoyin HaTorah, the shame of the Torah, by him sitting on the same bench, that he likewise recoiled from this episode as one recoils from a poisonous, dangerous snake. The Rosh Cirillo says a different pshat. The first line on the right margin, Me roiv tsar nidmaloi kol kach kiilu nochesh ikishai. The pain that he experienced when he realized that he had been sitting on the same bench as a Sefer Torah, where the Sefer Torah was, he had the same tsar as one who has pain when he's bitten by a snake. But either way, this shows us the tremendous Yerushalayim of Rabbi Eliezer. Continues the Gemara, Im hoya nasan al gabi dover acher mutter, if the Sefer Torah was placed, for example, on a slab of wood, on a board, then it is permitted for him to sit on the bench. Ad heichen, how high does the board have to be? Rav Abba, b'shem Rav Chuna. Rav Abba said in the name of Rav Chuna, tefach. It has to be a tefach high. Rav Yirmiyahu, b'shem Rav Zira, he said, afilu kol shu, even if it's only a slight amount. The Mara Fulda, in the top of the right-hand column, explains that why is Dover Acher acceptable if it's a tefach high? Kigoin, Shahaya Nasun daf oivyoi tefach, al gabi safsol, if a board that was high at tefach was put on top of the bench, the sefer Torah al gabi adaf, and the sefer Torah was on top of that board, mutter leishav al gabi safsol, hoil the sefer Torah gavoya mimenu tefach. Since there is a different height for the sefer Torah than the person, even though it's not 10 tefachim or 3 tefachim, it's just one tefach, but that alone makes the person on a different level than the Sefer Torah, and then it's permitted for him to sit on the safsol. Halacha l'maisa, the Beis Yosef says that it would only be permitted if the item on which the Sefer Torah was placed was 10 tefachim higher than where he was sitting, or at least 3 tefachim. Says the Shach, this is Midas de Chassidus. Mi ikra din, we paskin a tefach. But we don't paskin like the last sheet, the Rabbi Yirmiyahu b'Shem Rav Zira, fill a kol shu. That is not acceptable. But mi ikra din, a tefach is acceptable. A person wants to do Midas Chassidus, he could make a separation of 3 tefachim or even 10 tefachim. Continues the Gemara, daisaki, these are sacks. It comes from the word daisakio, which means two bags. This is a saddle bag. And what's in the saddle bag, which is on the chamor shehimaleya sforim? It's full of sforim. There's machloikis, whether the sforim include even a sefer Torah or only other sforim. Or in the saddlebags, there were bones from a mace. And he has to transport the Sefer Torah or the Atzamos. So he's allowed to sling them behind him and ride on the donkey. As the Miri explains in Brachas, although one might think that by him riding with the Sefer Torah or the Atzamos behind him, it's a bezoyin to the Atzamos or to the Sefer Torah. But since this is his convenient way of transporting them from one place to another, it would be very difficult to transport them in any other way. Chazal permitted it and did not consider it a bezoyin. However, says the Rosh Cirillo, in Divrei HaMaskil Mavshilin L'Chayra V'Reichav, Ava Lo Yirkav Alehen, Shenayig Behem Minig Bezoyin, to put the saddlebags under the saddle, and he should ride on top of the Atzamos or the Sefer Torah, that's definitely a bezoyin. That they never permitted. The only thing that's mutter is Mavshilin L'Chayra V'Reichav. There's only one exception, which the Gemara in the Bavli Brachos Daf Yud Ches Amud Aleph tells us, that if it's a Sha'as Sakana, from robbers, where his life would be in danger in such a situation, then he is allowed to ride on top of the Sefer Torah or the Atzamos, but that's only the Makom Sakana. The Gemara now discusses how do we store tefillin. Says the Gemara, tefillin toilos on meirashas hamita, tefillin are hung from the top of the bed, ve'ena toilos amaraglas hamita. He does not hang the tefillin from the end of the bed, because this would be a bezoyin to the tefillin that they should be by his feet, by the foot of the bed. Rabbi Shmuel said in the name of Rabbi Avua, who said in the name of Rabbi Lozer, b'shem Rabbi Chanina, Rabbi hoyotayel es tefillin meroshes hamita, that Rabbi, in fact, had this minig of hanging his tefillin from the top of the bed. Rabbi Chiski b'shem Rabbi Avua. Rabbi Chiski said in the name of Rabbi Avua, "Ubelvad d'loyavid kahadin daiklora." He shouldn't make it like that basket. Let us look into Pnei Moshe at the end of the top line, in the left-hand column. Kahadin daiklora k'moy hasal hazeh. This basket shetoylin ritzu molmala, that the ropes which are attached to the basket are hung on top, v'hasal molmata, and the basket is on the bottom, and there are objects that are put into the basket, into the hanging basket, shehu derech bezoyin, to do that with tefillin, to have the tefillin on top of the head of the bed, and the boxes of the tefillin dangling from the ritzuos, that is a derech bezoyin. That's a bezoyin to the main part of the tefillin, which are the boxes. El tzor shiyu kitzitzes ha'tefillin mamal. The boxes of the tefillin should be on top, And the straps that come out from the boxes should be dangling at the bottom. Continues the Gemara, Tana Rav Chalafta ben Shaul. Rav Chalafta ben Shaul learned the following. If a person sneezes during davening Shemayna Esrei, Simen Raloi, this is a bad sign for him. And the Gemara continues, Hadoda at Omer, that which you say that sneezing during Shemayna Esrei is a bad sign for him, that's only sneezing Milmato. In other words, he passes intestinal gas. Avol Milmailo, but sneezing from his nose, Loy, that is not a bad simon. Adu Rabba, the Gemara tells us in the Bavli, Daf Chav Dal Ramad Beis, that Itush Milmailo, sneezing from his nose, that's a simon toiv for a person, because sneezing strengthens his limbs and his body, and if Hashem is letting him sneeze during his Shemayna Esrei, it's a sign that Hashem wants to strengthen him while he's davening. That's a tremendous simen toiv for him. Why is passing intestinal gas a simen raloi? So there's different mahalchim in the Meforshim. We find in the Madane Yontiv on the Rosh, in Mesechta Brachas, he says that if a person passes gas with noise, with a sound in front of others, that is a bizoyan to the person. And it's a sign, min ha-shamayim, that Hashem does not regard him with chashivas, because Hashem is enabling him to become embarrassed while he's davening. It's a sign that Hashem is not machshiv his being, his metzias, or his tefillah, by the mere fact that he's becoming embarrassed during his davening. And even if he passes gas bekoil when there are no people around him, but since had there been people around him, it would have been a busha for him, so that itself is considered a simen ra, according to the Madane Yontiv. The Magen Avraham and Simen Kuf Gimel Sif Katan Vav goes a step further and says that even if the person passes gas quietly, it's still a simen ra for him, because the halacha is that he has to be mafsik his tefillah until the odor dissipates. So by the mere fact that Hashem caused that his tefillah should be interrupted, that is a bad sign for him. Continues the Gemara. Asya, this statement that Rav Chalafta ben Shaul made, that sneezing is a good simon, this is confirmed by a testimony of Rab Chanina. Asya demar Rab Chanina. Demar means de omar. This goes like what Rab Chanina reported concerning Rebbe. Ani ra'isias Rebbe. I saw Rebbe. Mefahik, he was yawning. Uma'atesh, and he was sneezing. Milmaila, from his nose, during Shemayna Esrei. And while he was yawning, v'noisen yarev al piv, he would put his hand on his mouth, because it's not respectful to daven yawning with his mouth open. Avoloi roikeg, but Rab Chanina's opinion is that Rebbe would not spit during the recital of Shemayna Esrei. So the raya that sneezing is a simen toiv is from the fact that Rebbe was the great tzaddik of his generation, and if he sneezed during Shemayna Esrei, and he was such a great tzaddik, that's a simen that Hashem was showing that what Rebbe is doing is full of bracha, and that's why he allowed him to sneeze during Shemayna Esrei. If it was a simen ra, then it wouldn't have happened to this great tzaddik of Rebbe. Continues the Gemara. Rabbi Yochanan Omar, Rabbi Yochanan says, afilu roikeik, that he is permitted to spit his saliva during Shemayna Esrei. Why? Kedei sheyeh koseh naki, his cup should be clean, as the Pnei Moshe explains. Piv usvasav yu nekiyim betfilah, his cup means his mouth and his lips should be clean during tefillah, and therefore if he has spittle in his mouth, he's permitted to get rid of it and to spit it out. with certain conditions, as the Gemara now enumerates. Lefonav Aser, he's not allowed to spit in front of where he's davening, but Lacharav Mutter, behind him, he's allowed to spit. Liyaminoi Aser, to his right, is prohibited. Lesmoiloi, to his left, is permitted. Now, the Rabbeinu Yoina gives us two pshatim in these words. The simple pshat is limina means to the person's right is forbidden, and to the person's left is permitted. However, Rabbeinu Yoina brings a second pshat, that limina means the yamin of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, who he is davening, facing HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Whenever a person davens, Hashem is facing him. So liyaminoi, which means to the person's left, which is to the right of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, who's facing him, aser, then he shouldn't spit. Lismoiloi, to the left of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, who's facing him, which is to the person who's davening's right, then that is mutter. And now we bring a raya from a pasuk, and each pshat will have a different interpretation in the pasuk. Hado dechsev, that's what it's written, a pasuk in Tehillim, Perek Tzadik Aleph, pasuk Zion. Says David HaMelech, Yipol mitzitcha elef, 1,000 will fall from your left side, and then the pasuk continues, Urevava miminecha, and 10,000 from your right side. So Rav Chaim Kanievsky explains, according to the first pshat that we brought from Rabbeinu Yoina, that mimina is aser means the person, the fact that 10,000 were destroyed on the right side of a person indicates that when a person's davening, the shechina is to the right of a person, and therefore to that right which enabled him to defeat 10,000, whereas the person's left only defeated 1,000. So that shows us that the shechina is on the right side of a person, and that's why he should not spit to the right side during tefillah. To the left side, it's mutter. According to the second pshat, that yaminoi means the yamin of Hashem, which is the left of a person, and smolo means the left of Hashem, which is to the right of a person. So the Rosh Cirillo, right at the bottom of the right-hand column of the Rosh Cirillo, explains, according to that pshat, midamaisi kro, the yipol mitzitcha elef, the hainu smol shel adam, mitam shehu yaminoi shel HaKadosh Baruch Hu, mu'atin hamazikin l'sham. So he learns just the opposite, that the fact that there's only 1,000 enemies on a person's left side and there's 10,000 on the right side, he doesn't focus on destroying the 10,000 or the 1,000. The Rosh Cirillo is focusing on the fact of the numbers. Why is there 10,000 on the right and only 1,000 on the left? The answer is because the left of a person is facing the right of Hashem. The right of Hashem is protecting a person, and that's why, to begin with, he has less enemies on the left side. Therefore, that left side of the person, which is Hashem's right side, there we say, Yaminoi Aser, it's Aser to spit to Hashem's right, which is his left, and Lismoiloi, where he has so many enemies, he has Lismoiloi, which is his right, and Hashem's left, where he has 10,000 enemies. There we see it's the left of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. To that left, there it's mutter to spit. Kol ama moide, and then the Gemara says that everyone agrees. Bahain de rokak, it's Stalin, to who our gear says Osir. However, the Charedim brings down the Rajman, the name of the Rivet, and the same thing we have in the Shinri Neschois in Ois Chof, that they say that the gear here should be mutter. What does it mean? We had a machloikis between Rabbi Yochanan and Rabbi Chanina, whether one can spit during davening. Rabbi Chanina said, Avaloi roi cake. Rabbi Yochanan said, Afilu roi cake. So the Gemara is now saying that everybody's moida, which means even Rabbi Chanina is moida, that one is allowed to spit into his itstalin. Itstalin, the Chredim says, means talisoi, his talis. In other words, everyone holds that just to spit for no reason at all is aser. Everyone holds that to spit for a purpose, it's this affecting his tefillah, he can't daven properly, that is permitted. The machloikis between Rabbi Chanina and Rabbi Yochanan is that Rabbi Chanina is of the opinion that you can't directly spit. Rabbi Yochanan said you could spit outright. However, kula amemoida, everyone agrees that if, even according to Rabbi Chanina, that if he does it into his talus, he doesn't do it in a public way, he does it in a very hidden manner into his talus to remove his spittle, that is permitted. The humutter, according to the Girsa of the Rashba B'Shem Harivet. The Gemara in Brachas, Daf Chav Dalet Amud Beis, tells us that if a person is an itzdenis, he's a very pedantic person, and it would bother him very much that in his talus he would have his saliva, then for him, even Rabbi Chanina would be moida that he's allowed to outright spit it and get it out of his mouth in order to continue his davening if the saliva is disturbing his tefillah. Continues the Gemara, Rabbi Yeshua ben Levi Omar, Haroi Kegbe Beis HaKnesses, if somebody spits in a shul, and here we're speaking about that he's spitting not because the spit is disturbing his tefillah, he just plain is spitting in the shul, Keroi Kegbe Bas Enoi, it's as if he is spitting into the apple of HaKadosh Baruch Hu's eye. It's a bizoyan what he's doing to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So he holds it's usur to spit unless it's because the spit is preventing his davening, as we learned from the Gemara before. However, Rabbi Yoina, he permits spitting, even when it doesn't interfere with the davening, but with one condition. Rokak, he used to spit, vishayif, and then he used to rub out the spit with his shoe, and then it was permitted. What about on Shabbos, when rubbing would be prohibited? The Mishnah Berurah in Siman Kufnun Aleph, Sifkat and Tes, tells us that on Shabbos it suffices for the person just to place his shoe over the spittle without rubbing. If the spittle lands on sand or in straw, where it becomes absorbed, then nothing is necessary. Rabbi Yirmiya said over in the name of Rabbi Shmuel bar Chalafta, b'shem Rav Adabar Achva HaMispalel, a person who davens and he finished Shmoneh Esrei, and now he wants to spit, al yoruk, he should not spit, ad shehalach arbamis, until he walks away from the place where he davened four amis. Amar Rabbi Yossi b'Rav Oven, v'chein haroikek, if someone spit, al yispalel, he shouldn't daven ad shehalach arbamis, until he walks four amis away. And we find a similar halacha concerning a person urinating. Tani hamispalel, a person who daven, Shmoneh Esrei, al yatil es hamayim, he should not urinate, ad shehalach arbamis, until he walks four amas away from the place where he daven. V'chein amatol mayim, a person who urinated, al yispalel, he shouldn't daven, ad shehalach arbamis, until he walks four amas away from the place where he urinated. So we find two similar halachas here concerning spit and concerning urinating. And the way Rabbi Chaim Kanievsky Shlita learns in the beer, there has to be a separation between the place where he spit or the place where he urinated and tefillah. And the reason for the separation we will see in a moment. The Gemara at this point had a havamina that it means that you actually have to walk four amas away to spit or to daven after spitting. You have to walk four amas away to urinate or to daven after urinating. But now the Gemara says, Omer Rabbi Yaakov bar Acha, loy soif dov rat shehalach arba amas. It doesn't mean that you actually have to walk four amas. Ela afila shaw kedei hilach arba amas. Even if you waited the time that it takes you to go four amas, you stayed in your place, but you waited, is sufficient. Amar Rav Ami. Rav Ami wants to bring a proof, a logical proof. Im oimer ato ad shehalach arba amas, if you're going to say it means literally, you have to walk four amas away, from where you davened, or where you urinated, where you spit, or where you davened and now you want to spit, you have to make a separation, a physical separation of dalet amis. Im ata oimer ad shehalach arba amis he asur, ani oimer achar bo vitel sham. If you're going to say that you mamish have to go 4 amis away, then it should be asur to daven anywhere, as the Chredim says, ve'em l'davar soif, v'yei asur l'spal v'chol makam. It'll be asur to daven anywhere. Why? Because, as the Pnei Moshe speaks out in Divrei HaMaskil Amar Rav Ami, Vari d'hocha havye. It must be that it's the time has to elapse to walk 4 amas, and not that you physically have to go 4 amas. She'im ato oimer ad shehalach 4 amas bedavke. If you actually have to walk the 4 amas, imkein hamatil mayim, someone who urinated, v'hoilech dalet amas, and he walks 4 amas, yei osur l'spal shom. He won't be able to daven in a new place. Lefi shani oimer, I'll say shema achar bo. In the hundreds of years previously, somebody came in that very spot, v'hitl shamayim, mitchila. U'kloimer, imat ha'choshesh l'kach, ein l'dover soif, sh'afil b'chol ha'derech, yei osu l'spal. The whole path that he's going from one city to another will be osu to daven. Shema echad hitl mayim b'kan, somebody urinated on this place, and you're telling me you always have to go away from a place where someone urinated. So if Reuven urinated here, and then he's going to walk 4 amas away to daven, why can't he daven there? Maybe there is a place where somebody was matal mayim. Elavade ein choishel is a hamakim. It's not a, like the Gemara's Havamina was, that it's the place, a place where someone urinated, he cannot daven in that place. After waiting 4 amas, then the saliva or the urine is no longer recognizable, and therefore it is mutter. That is the reason that you have to wait until you walk 4 amas, because in that time, then the urine or his spit will not be recognizable anymore, but not that you physically have to move to another place, because if the place was, so to speak, contaminated, then he couldn't daven anywhere along the route because somebody else urinated in that place. Continues the Gemara, Rav Abba b'shem Rav. We're going to have here two opinions in what Rav holds in this halacha. First, we're learning Rav Abba in the name of Rav. How long is tsoa effective that a person is not allowed to daven or say krishma within the dalet amis of the excrement ad shetiyavish ke'etzem, until it becomes dry like a bone? As long as it's not dry like a bone, it is still usher to say krishma or daven within the dalet amis. Mayim, what about urine? Kolzman shehein matpichen, as long as the urine can moisten something else that it comes in contact with. There's a machloikis in the Gemara whether this concept of teifeach al menas latfiach, that it has to be moistened enough to make something else moist, does that mean that the first mayim, the urine, has to make the second item moist enough that it can make a third item moist? Or no, perhaps all that's necessary is that the meraglayim, the urine, should moisten the second item. It's not necessary that the second item should be moist as a result to moisten a third item. That's a machlokes in the Gemara, and l'halach l'maisa, the Rosh paskins that yes, the second item has to become so moist from the mei raglaim that it in turn will moisten a third item. However, the Rambam paskins like the Shita that the mei raglaim has to moisten the second item. It's not necessary for the second item to be moist enough to make the third item moist. Geneva Amar. Geneva is the most machmer, and he says, Mayim kolzman shirishuma nicker, even if the meiraglaim cannot moisten anything that comes in contact with it, but if you can still see the mark of the meiraglaim on the ground, then we say that it's also to daven or say krishma within the four amis of that meiraglaim. As we turn to daf mem aleph amid beis, Shmuel Amar, Shmuel is more makel than Rab Abba b'shem Rav, and he says that by tzoya achi yirkemu paneha, it's not necessary for it to become hard as a rock, but as soon as it forms a crust, even though the rest of the tzoya does not have a crust, it's not hardened at all, it already becomes mutter to daven or say krishma within the dalet amis. So too, Shimon bar Vav b'shem Rabbi Yochanan achi yikarmu paneha, until the top of the tzoya has a crust. Once it has a crust, it is mutter. Now we have this second shita in the name of Rav. Rav Yirmiya said in the name of Rav Zeira, b'shem Rav, he is more machmer than Rav Abba, who said b'shem Rav. Tzoya afilo asuya ke'etzem asura. Whereas Rav Abba said in the name of Rav that tzoya, if it's like an etzem, is mutter. Rav Zeira is saying in the name of Rav that tzoya, excrement, even if it's as hard as a bone, is asur. It's only mutter when a person throws the tzoya or rolls it and it crumbles, then we say that it loses its halacha of tzoya, that it's asur to daven within the dalet amis, and it becomes mutter. But if it's as hard as an etzem, it's still asur to daven within the dalet amis. That's Rav Zeira's opinion in the name of Rav. Again, Shmuel and Shimon bar Va are mekel, of course, more than Rav Zeira b'shem Rav, and they say Shmuel amar achi yikarmu paneha, and Shimon bar Va amar b'shem Rav Yochanan achi yikarmu paneha. Omar Chizkia said, Rab Abba machmer b'mayim yoyseh min atzoya. I find that Rab Abba's opinion in the name of Rav, namely, that tzoya is usur until it becomes as hard as a bone, and mayim is usur as long as it's moist enough to make something else moist, I find that he's being more machmer by the urine than by the excrement. Amar le Rav Mana, min hadad de Geneva. Why do you say he's a machmer by mayim? For kert, we find that Geneva said that as long as the rishuma nicker, as long as the mark of the meiraglaim, the urine is nicker, is recognizable, it's usher, even though it's not able to moisten anything else, and still we say that it's usher. So he's the most machmer. So compared to Geneva, we don't find that Rab Abba is such a machmer concerning mayim. Answers the Gemara, Amar Lei. So Chizkia responded, you don't understand what I said. I wasn't trying to say that Rab Abba is machmer in mayim. I was trying to say that he's mekel in soya. Because according to my opinion in the Sheet of Rav, Amar Lei, afil asuya ke'etzem asura, it should be usher even if it's as hard as a bone. Why? Mipnei she misham shakayim, because the mamoshes, the substance of the tzoya, is still present. And therefore, my opinion is that you have to be machmer, it's usher until it crumbles. But before it crumbles, if it's just hard as a bone, it should be usher, because the substance of the tzoya is there. Whereas mayim ain misham shakayim, even if it's teifeyach, even if it moistens something else, but there's no longer any substance of the meiraglaim. We don't see the actual meiraglaim, even though there's some moisture there. So therefore, I would say that by mayim, it should be mutter, even if it moistens something else, even if it's teifeyach, something else. It should still be mutter because there's no mamashes there. Mashi enkein concerning the tzoya. There I would be more machmer, and I would say that even ketzem is usher. So that's why I was saying that he's machmer b'mayim yoyseh min atzoya. By the tzoya he was mekel, where he should have been machmer, and by the mayim where he was machmer, there he should have been mekel. That was my complaint in his opinion. Yoyseh min atzoya. By the tzoya he was mekel, where he should have been machmer, and by the mayim where he was machmer, there he should have been mekel. That was my complaint in his opinion.